And we're opening our Bibles. Let's just turn to the 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we're reading a few verses here from verse number 1. And it is the final charge which Paul gives to Timothy. And he says this, I charge thee, therefore, before God. This is an important thing, because this is God's charge, which Paul gives. Remember, 2 Timothy, it's the last portion that Paul wrote, the last letter that Paul wrote, and he's going to die. And therefore, the last words of a person are very important. I think that certainly in my years of ministry, certainly families are always anxious if they're gathered round a dying bed of a loved one. They're interested in the last words. Just a word before the loved one goes. But Paul is writing to Timothy. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Amen, and God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's have a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word today, and we pray that you'll bless us now in the time of fellowship and this time of study. We pray that thou wilt open thy word to our hearts and help us to, Lord, just be careful in the lives that we live for the honor and the glory of thy name, that others might see Jesus in our lives. And so we pray that you'll help me, even in these last meetings, to be faithful in the proclamation of thy word, and that I will give instruction according to thy word. In Jesus' precious name and for his glory. Amen. Now I'm told that an eagle knows that a storm is coming and is approaching before it actually breaks. And therefore, with that knowledge that the eagle has, the eagle will fly to some high point or to some high spot and will wait for the wind to come. Now you say, well, why does the eagle do that? Well, the eagle flies to that high spot that when the storm hits, the eagle sets its wings so that the wind can pick it up and can lift it above the storm. And while the storm rages below, the eagle soars above it. Now the eagle doesn't escape the storm, but it simply uses the storm to lift it higher. Now I think there's an important lesson there. Because every one of us in our lives, I know that in my life, and I've tried to share some of this whenever we were away in camp, some of the various situations in my life and many of the storms. Because when God saved me, he didn't inoculate me against the storm. He didn't say, will you never have another problem? You just have it plain sailing until you get home to glory. The word of God says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Abba, don't get discouraged. Because it goes on to say, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And so it is important for us to realize that just simply because the storm breaks upon us, and we face many situations in our lives, the storms, and I have, but let me tell you, those storms do not come to destroy us. But those storms can be used of God to strengthen us and to make us better Christians and better believers and to draw us closer to the Lord. So what I want to try to do from, not my experience, but from the Word of God, to tell you how you can live in victory. And God wants you to live a life of victory. Now there are perhaps those that have been saved for a number of years, and to be honest, if you're honest before God, you're struggling. You're struggling. In your Christian life, you're struggling. And maybe the storms have come into your life, and to be honest, those storms have really tossed you about. Until you've come to a place that you just, maybe you've lost hope, lost courage, lost strength. So, what guidance can I give you for a life of victory? Well, the guidance which I could give you wouldn't be important. But the guidance which God gives is. Because thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and is the light unto my path. And so therefore, whenever you come to, you've got to come to the Word of God. Because let me tell you, I could talk about my experiences. But remember what we read about, as we read this morning in Luke chapter 18. The man came into the people's presence, or came into God's presence to talk about himself. I want to give you three simple words that will help you to live in victory. And three words are this. The first word is retreat. Retreat. R-E-T-R-E-A-T. Retreat. The second word is stand. S-T-A-N-D. And then the third word is advance. Now you say, well, now hold on a second. I understand the maybe second and third one, if you're talking about victory. But what has this word retreat got to do with victory? How can I live a victorious life by retreating? Surely, I want to go forward, not retreat. So what am I talking about? Well, Paul is writing to Timothy. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And Paul is writing to Timothy, and remember, he wants God's children to be good soldiers of the cross. That's what he tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of the cross. And so therefore, in our being good soldiers of the cross, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Flee these things. And there comes a time when God says, if we want to live the life of victory, there are things in our lives, and God says, run from them. God says, retreat, flee from them, get away from them, leave them alone. They're not what a Christian should be. They're not what a Christian should do. In other words, we're to retreat, we're to avoid them. We're to avoid them. In actual fact, that is flee these things. That's a continuous action. In other words, you're to make it the habit of your life. And that was the advice that Paul was giving to young Timothy. Now let me tell you, in retreat, this is not cowardice. He's not saying, be a coward, run. Run, run! Be a coward! No, no. He's saying the very opposite. There are things that Paul was wanting Timothy to avoid. And I want to tell you, if you want to be a victorious Christian, there are things you've got to be willing to avoid. You just can't keep doing them. You've got to run from them. You've got to retreat from them. You've got to flee them. Run away from them. Now, some of the things that are mentioned, let's go to verse number 4 of chapter 6. It says, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strife of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising. And so therefore, one thing I believe that we've got to run from is pride. He's proud. Proud. Verse 3, it says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, that man is proud, and we are to flee these things. We are to flee pride. A doctor was sitting in a clubhouse, a golf clubhouse, one day with his friends. And one of his friends turned to him and said to him, Dr. Holden, he says, tell me, by the way, doctor, what is your handicap? Talking about his handicap in golf. And without a hesitation, the doctor said one word. Myself. Myself. I'm the handicap. And friend, let me tell you, myself is a big handicap in a Christian life. Because remember, whenever you're saved, you're not your own. You have been bought with a price. And therefore you're not to be filled with self. What do I want? And I can tell you, it says in Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto me, or unto thee. Do you remember the young man, and the Lord Jesus said to him, follow me. And what did he say? Suffer me first to go and bury my father. Notice that. Me first. Me first. And friend, I can tell you, that's the route to defeat. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Put God first. And if you want to live a victorious life, you've got to put the Lord first. He has got to be first in your life. You cannot expect victory in your life if I is on the throne. You can't expect inner joy until the capital I of your life has been conquered. And that's why God says in the book of James, and he tells us in chapter 4 of the book of James, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. James chapter 4 verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And that's the only time that you need to be lifted up, is when God does it. Don't live the life of self, friend. Because I can tell you this, you've got to flee these things. Pride, you've got to flee it. And then notice what pride does. It says, knowing nothing. Verse 4 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. Knowing nothing, doting about questions and strife of words, whereof cometh envy. You've got to flee envy. What's envy? The green-eyed monster that wrecks so many a Christian. And it creeps in so easily. Envy. Jealousy. It's amazing how jealousy can creep into a life. You know, people can be jealous because somebody plays the piano better than them. Or people like them. Or like others better than them. And people are jealous. And the green-eyed monster. Proverbs 6:34. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not speak, or not he will not spare in the day of vengeance. Man of God, flee. Flee envy. Flee jealousy. It'll destroy you. And then it says in that verse, going back again to Timothy, not only envy, strife. And sad to say that many Christians are filled with strife. In other words, bickering and arguing. Let me ask you, are you easily annoyed? Are you easily upset? Are you impatient? Are you irritable? Do you easily lose your temper? All of those things engender strife among the people of God. And we're to flee it. You're to flee strife. You're to flee railings. We can only touch these. Railings. Now that's the old-fashioned word. Gossip. Gossip. And child of God, if you want to live a life of victory, I want to tell you this. God hates the talebearer. God hates the gossiper. The Bible tells us that we're to be swift to speak, or we're to be swift to hear, and we're to be slow to speak. Think before you speak. That's found in James chapter 1, verse 19. And here's a chapter to study. Study James chapter 3. And it is a message about the tongue. And I can tell you, you'll be slow to speak when you read it. Because the Bible tells us the tongue is a fire. The tongue is a world of iniquity. It is set on fire of hell. And I can tell you, the tongue's one of the smallest members of your body. But it's as powerful as an atomic bomb. It can destroy. Just with your tongue. You can destroy in one moment a person's life. And we're to flee it. We're to flee envy. We're to flee pride. We're to flee strife. We're to flee railings. We're to flee evil surmisings. That goes into the mind. Avoid thinking evil about others. There's a lovely wee verse in the book of Philippians, chapter 4. It says this. Whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, that is Philippians 4, verse 8. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, listen, think on these things. That's where you set your mind. You know, there's some people, and they're always waiting to get the latest, the last wee bit of gossip to destroy somebody's life. And then they say, oh, I'm a Christian. Let me tell you. There are things that you need to run from. There are things that I need to... Yes, evil surmisings. Then if you go on down to verse number 10 of 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Now hold on a wee second. Notice what it says here. The love of money. Now maybe there's somebody who says, but I haven't money to love. remember a preacher once spoke to a young person, and he confessed the fact that he was living a life of defeat. And he knew there was something wrong. And he came to the preacher, and the preacher asked him a question. He says, "Do you tithe to God's work?" He says, "Preacher, not much." Preacher says, "There's the trouble. Do you know that you're robbing God? Robbing God?" You see, it doesn't say money's the root of all evil. A lot of people, out of jealousy, say that. It doesn't say that. It says the love of money. And that means there are people, let me tell you, and they'll do anything to get it. Doesn't matter how deceitful. Doesn't matter how wrong they are. They don't care about cheating. They don't care about lying. Why? Because the money is their God. Now, it doesn't say money is the root of all evil, which people try to throw out there to try to demean somebody. It says the love of it. You know, one of the richest men in his day was Abram. Interesting thing is this. He was one of the richest men, and yet he lived in a tent. But he looked for a city that had foundation, whose builder and maker was God. And then very quickly, turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, because we have to rush this. And then it says, "Flee also youthful lusts." Every evil and immoral sin, let me tell you, begins with a thought. Keep guard your thoughts, keep them clean, keep them pure. Remember Daniel in the scriptures. He purposed in his heart not to defile himself. And you've got to be willing. You know, a president of a Bible college said one day to his students, "The first look is not sin. It's the second look." You see, you may be unable to help the first look, but to watch and guard that second look. Remember David, when he fell in sin, he was there and he saw Bathsheba, but he didn't turn away his eyes from her. He kept looking. And then he longed after her, and then he fell with her. Now, he didn't intend to see her that day. He wasn't out there first to see her, but he saw her. See, the first look, you may not be able to avoid, but you can avoid the second look. Flee youthful lust. O thou man of God, O thou man of God, flee youthful lust. Flee these things. The second thing, quickly, and we'll soon come to that. The second word I've given is stand. In other words, hold the line. Don't yield. Now, I'm sure that in your life there are times, as a Christian, that it would be easy to compromise. It would be so easy to yield in your Christian life. But God says, hold the line. Take a stand. Paul said to Timothy, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty with Christ has made you free." And I can tell you, God is calling you in Singapore to take a stand. Take a stand for God. Take a stand for righteousness. Take a stand for holiness. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and it tells us this in verse number 11. "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." You need the armor of God, friend. If you're going to keep standing, And God wants you to take a stand. Stand fast in the liberty. Then it says this, you need the armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Oh, he's so crafty. Oh, the wiles of the devil. He's so subtle. And you need the armor of God. It says in verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to keep standing, to stand. Stand therefore, with your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, take the helmet of salvation, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Friend, this is the armor. Take unto you the whole armor of God. And I know a friend of mine some years ago, and he said to me, every morning, preacher, I pray, and I stand in God's presence, and I say, Lord, I'm putting on your armor. And he says, Lord, I'm taking you, I'm girding about my loins with truth, and I'm putting on the breastplate of righteousness, and I'm going to put on my feet, I'm shodding my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, I'm going to take the shield of faith in my hand to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, I'm going to put on my head the helmet of salvation, and then I'm going to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And he says, now, I'm ready for the day. I'm ready for the battle. Do you know why? Because I've taken unto me the whole armor of God. That's why you'll not fail. When you armor yourself with the armor of God. So often we go out in the flesh, and we try in the flesh, and I can tell you, we'll fall and we'll fail. But God wants you to take a stand. Stand. And even though all around you are falling, keep standing, friend. Keep true. Keep true and faithful to God. I know there'll be a call to compromise, but I say to this congregation, in God's name, listen, keep on the firing line for God. Keep true to God. And God's promise, him that honoreth me, him I'll honor. God will honor you. You take your stand for God. Stand, therefore. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand. Not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. You know, the greatest thing you must do, friend, is yield to God, not yield to yourself. The last word is advance. Heard about a child one time, and he was riding a bicycle. His parents bought him this new bicycle. And he had never ridden a bicycle before. And patiently his family tried to teach him the art of cycling. Sometime after that he was asked by a friend, well, how did you get on with the bicycle? And he said this, I soon found out there was one thing that I must do if I'm going to stay in the bicycle. I've got to keep moving forward. I've got to keep moving forward. And so we have. And God wants us to move forward. And Paul says to Timothy, he says, Timothy, Second Timothy, and with this one through, Second Timothy, he said, endure hardship as a good soldier of the cross. Verse 5, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. We must do it lawfully. In other words, we've got to do it in the right way. Engage in the contest. Contend in the battle. You say to me, how can I do that, William? How can you do it? Listen, first of all, by Bible reading. You need to read your Bible. If you're going to advance, you will not advance without studying the Word of God. Many people, and profess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they little study the Word of God, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye might grow thereby. And then prayer. We need to fortify our prayer lives. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Then we need to witness. We need to go to work for the Lord. We need to seek a work for the Lord. You need to let your light shine before men and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Fourthly, you need to support God's work. For the liberal soul, the Bible says, Proverbs 11, verse 25, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Support the work of God. And lastly, keep pushing on. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. You say to me, I want to live a life of victory, preacher. Listen. Remember the three words. There are things you're to flee from. Retreat. Run away from them. They're not for you. You're God's child. It's not the place where you should be. It's not the things you should be doing. Run from them. Not only retreat. But thank God you stand. You hold the line for God. For what he says. Do what he says. Run from those things. Stand where God says. And then advance. Move forward. Go on with God. I've learned these lessons in my life. And friend, every day I'm still learning. Until God calls me home. May God bless you for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless thy word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen.